Listen to The Rush with Reshmi Nair and Scott MacArthur.
This is Smart Speakers
on News Talk 1010.
Toronto.
Joined by two of Toronto's best and brightest to dive into the biggest stories of the day. And oh my word, what a pair we have, Richard. Mark Mendelson, News Talk 1010 crime expert and former homicide detective, also known as a pal of mine. Mm-hmm. And Lindsay Broadhead, strategic communications and public affairs advisor, also a friend of mine. It's just the friend hour. I'm so happy.
It's the friend hour. Woo-hoo!
And
Richard,
you know what that means.
It's a sweet, sweet Friday!
Yeah! Wow.
Richard,
yes,
Richard,
Mark.
do not let Scott touch any of those buttons in that studio.
It's okay? Too late. His grubby little hands have been over them all day.
Yeah, that's right.
See, he's going to hit the wrong button, and we're going to be subjected to audio versions of Joni Loves Chachi for the next hour and a half.
All right, rein it in, Copper. Okay, guys, we're going to start, speaking of police, we're going to, because this the question of policing comes up actually as part of this question all the time. York Memorial students, we were just chatting about this, York Memorial Collegiate students stage a walkout over quote-unquote deplorable school conditions. They're saying that there's violence, there's fights at the school, there are weapons. This has been a relatively chronic complaint. Principal wouldn't go to the school based on the same complaints just a while ago. You heard from the premier who said, you know what, this is a school board problem or a federal government problem if it's about the criminal justice system. Students are saying, listen, somebody's got to do something about this. Lindsay, what's your take on all of this, and in particular the premier's response, which was, you know what, go to the school boards or go to the justice minister federally, but don't come to me.
Yeah, it's all of our problem, right? Mm-hmm. These are our kids. And first of all, good on these kids, because from what I understand, you know, teachers have walked out. Some have gone on strike. There's been north of 70 health and safety concern submissions. Like, this isn't a idea that these students just decided one day to, you know, protest on. It's legitimate, and they took it to the streets, and that's the only reason we're talking about it today. So, you know, good on them. But no, it's all of our problem. While the premier may be correct in terms of order of responsibility and where there's jurisdiction, I think that's part of the problem right now, is that, you know, our kids can't be part of a jurisdiction, for starters. That's one. But more than that, I think that excuse is getting tired, right? I want Premier Ford's voice to represent us, even if he doesn't have the power to solve it right now. What can he do to get us heard? And I think that's what the students are saying. So it's a weak response. And I, knowing his brand, right, like, I don't actually think, you know, he is of the kids. That's the Ford brand. I would have liked to have heard something and seen some action that was more aligned with certainly how he's articulated responses similar to this in the past, because this is urgent. This is important.
Yeah, I agree with Lindsay. I was really disappointed with the way that he seemed to just simply pass the buck along to everyone else. Mark, what do you think? Is it just a lot of buck passing? What needs to happen here?
Well, this didn't happen this week. This has been going on for a number of weeks now, where we've had kids complaining. We've had all kinds of essentially criminal offenses taking place in the school. Kids are afraid to go to the washroom because they're going to get herded in there. They're going to be forced to do things they don't want to do. We've got teachers that won't go to school. We've got a principal who went AWOL and basically said it's an unsafe working condition. But this has been going on for weeks. And for now, for the TDSB to sit back today and go, well, you know what, we're going to sit down with the parents, and we're going to sit down with the teachers, and we're going to sit down with the students. We're past that already. We've got criminal offenses taking place in there where people don't want to go to school. And I can imagine parents don't want to send their kids to school. I'm not even going to get into my opinion on the school liaison officer program that was abruptly canceled, because I think that might have had a big difference as a proactive deterrent. So that but we've had that discussion already. But there's something desperately wrong here, and it needs to be addressed now. And whether that's a matter of bringing the police in and conducting investigations on some of these allegations that are being thrown about, that's what needs to be done. And it needs to be done now. This is not something we can wait a couple of weeks for. This is a high school. And, you know, You can't live like this. People have to send their kids to school knowing with some assurance that they're going to be relatively safe. But also, most important, this is not on the teachers or the administration or other support staff to be doing the disciplinary work in this school. They shouldn't be doing that. They're not trained for it. And I don't blame them for not wanting to go to school if it's not safe. They're being threatened. They're being threatened verbally. They're being threatened online. Something's really wrong in that school. But I'll suggest to you also, this is not the only school. This school is just winning on the volume business right now.
All right. I'm going to stick with you, Mark. Beck Taxi is actually suing the city of Toronto. The issue in play is driver training for accredited taxi cab drivers. Here's what one representative of Beck Taxi had to say.
So it's been 6 years now since the city of Toronto, you know, egregiously canceled all training for taxi or for hire vehicle drivers. You know, we've been in shock since. We also started a Centennial College training course that required an in-car driving component and in-class learning. But what we've been asking the city to do is to bring back that training requirement. And we need meaningful training.
All right, Mark, I'm going to stick with you. That was actually, I just should be clear, that was Christine Hubbard from Beck Taxi speaking this morning on More in the Morning. Mark, my question to you is she right? And or is the reality of this marketplace that it's just completely changing and Uber drivers and the surplus of Uber Lyft drivers is just swamping the ability of any municipality to move in terms of enforcement, these kinds of standards?
Well, Christine and Beck Taxi have been very vocal for many years since Uber sort of really laid a footprint down in this city in terms of their screening, their pre-screening of their drivers, their driver training, you know, and this has always been about Uber. Now, this statement of claim has come out now, and let's be fair, the statement of claim is for a paltry sum in terms of lawsuits mm-hmm. of about $50,000. And I'm thinking that what Beck wants to do is get this entire issue of these contracted Uber drivers in front of the courts, and in terms of the impact that it's having on the taxi industry in this city. I mean, look at, you can drive around this city all you want now. You see probably 20% of the cabs that you used to see, but we see Uber drivers everywhere. And there's all kinds of problems in terms of what insurance Uber drivers have, and they've tried to correct that, what training they have, things of that nature. I think this whole idea of this statement of claim, this civil suit, is to get it in front of the courts and have the courts make a decision on the legitimacy of independent drivers like Uber and like Lyft.
I think that's probably correct. I mean, I do not see that the idea that the vehicle for hire driver training is going to make a difference in this situation. I took cabs before Uber. I took cabs probably pretty much every day. I was, the TTC stood for me, meant take the cab. And so I would do that, and I found cab drivers that didn't know where they were going, weren't particularly good drivers. In Ubers, I have never had that problem because it's a different kind of situation. They've disrupted the business, and I think that that's the way it is now in Toronto.
Man, oh man. Scott Reed and Richard Krause here co-hosting The Rush. We come back on the other side of traffic. We're going to be back with Mark Mendelson, Lindsay Broadhead, our smart speakers, and we're going to talk about hockey and a crumbling economy. You do not want to leave. And at least for this Friday, that specifically means Scott Reed and Richard Krause sitting in as your substitute co-hosts. We're also going to be doing the show next Friday night.
Next Friday.
It's going to be something of a regular date.
I will have things to say.
All right. He's going to have things to say next Friday. I'm scared now. We are in the middle of our really, I would say, spectacularly popular, much hailed, often awarded segment, Smart Speakers, featuring today Mark Mendelson, News Talk 1010 crime expert and former homicide detective, Lindsay Broadhead, strategic communications and public affairs advisor. Lindsay, I'm going to put this to you because
yes,
I know
sir.
These complex, sensitive, thorny social issues are your specialty. There is a school board, a committee of the school board outside of London that recommends, there were freighted with the responsibility of making recommendations for maybe changing the names of certain schools. Are there schools where the name is now no longer appropriate, depending upon community, local standards, that sort of thing? And on the list is they wanted to get rid of the school that's named after Prince Charles. This has upset a Western University prof who says, hey, the guy, like, they said, well, what connection? The report said, well, what connection does he have with us locally? And, you know, the prof is going, hang on, he's the freaking king now. And by the way, we knew he would one day be king. That was a predictable change of profession for him. What do you think? Should they take the name away? Should they drop this as a recommendation? Are you offended on Prince Charles's behalf? Did you believe what episode one of The Crown suggested about his conduct in the 1990s?
Everything I know about the royal family comes from The Crown, I think. And poor Charles, this guy, his lineage has just been, he's had a hard run. Look, I've thought long and hard about all of this renaming of things, buildings, and et cetera, because this has obviously been in the news for the last, and rightly so, for the last many years. And where I've landed on it is this. When it does not align with your brand values, it should be changed. So if any brand, if it's a school, is often the case, decides that the colonialist history that are associated with the monarchy is at odds with its values, then it should change the name. I don't think it has anything to do with Prince Charles per se at all. He's a fairly innocuous guy, unless they're bravely against hunting, which might be the case, but he is fairly harmless. But of course, what he represents is a bigger story, and one that is rightly so increasingly relevant in our Canadian narrative. So that's
a very careful answer, a sort of tiptoe through the tulips.
Do you think so? I think it's very specific.
Yes. Well, I don't know.
Change the name there.
All right, now that's what I'm looking for. We want straight answers on News Talk 1010.
You have to change the name. I was trying to explain why.
At $40,000 a pop, though, it costs $40,000 to change the name of a high school. And I understand what you're saying here, but it's a lot of money. And when I look at the buildings that are, that recently have had name changes here, like Ryerson, I don't really think of anything other than the university that took over my beloved Sam the Record Man on Yonge Street and put up a big, ugly building where my favorite store used to be.
Mark, where are you at on this?
Well, look, I got nothing about King Charles, good or bad. I mean, let's go back to the topic we talked about, 5 minutes ago. We've got schools that are in peril right now. We've got teachers that are overwhelmed, teaching assistants that are overwhelmed, students that aren't getting attention. And as Richard said, 40 grand a pop, I'd rather see that 40 grand per school go into support systems to start educating our kids who have been out of school and learning online for the last couple of years. You want to change the names? I'm with Lindsay on that, but not right now. We've got bigger priorities and bigger fish to fry, like getting our kids back into a system and a rhythm and a learning process that's going to carry them going into university.
Got it. Moving
and
right
I agree
along.
With Mark. Mark, I agree with you on that. In terms of prioritization right now, there's few dollars to be spent. So let's spend them on what we need.
For the love of God, people, let's join the rest of the world and quit paying any attention to Prince Charles. It's done. King Charles. God. Now, I want to stick with you, though, Mark. New poll out today from our pal Nick Nanos at Nanos Research. He says 9 out of 10 Canadians believe that our 2023 recession is at least somewhat likely. My question for you is twofold. First of all, do you think a recession is coming in 2023? Second of all, what adjustments are you making already in anticipation of tougher economic times? For example, I'm wondering, are you going to drop down to only 3 vodka sodas a day?
Well, I'm not going down to 3 unless you go down to 6. Okay, so that's you do the math.
You know, spot, I do not drink vodka.
I know, thank God. But look at go shopping. Go to your local supermarket and see what you're paying now for food. Go to a restaurant, get gas, all these other things. As far as I know, this recession is here. It's already here. And, you know, like, Scott, you've got four kids. I've got five. They eat a lot. They eat a ton of food. And you know, and some of them are in university. And, you know, it costs a lot of money. And it's costing more money each and every time, you know, the end of the month comes around now. So I think we're already there. And I think, you know, as much as people don't want to admit it, I think subconsciously we are all making more informed choices about what we're buying and how often we're going out and how often we're ordering Uber Eats, because it is creeping up and it might be a dime here and a quarter there. But before you know it, go shopping and you'll see you're paying $6 for a thing of cauliflower that you used to pay $1.99 for. It's all adding up. I already think we're here.
And Lindsay, when you look at the breakdown about who thinks that the recession is coming, it seems to be split into age brackets. People 35 to 54 were most likely to believe that a recession was coming in 2023. And then 18 to 34, they weren't quite as sure. What do you attribute that breakdown to?
Well, I mean, I agree with Mark for starters. This is a, you know, we're splitting hairs mm-hmm. in terms of a technical definition here, whether it's two quarters of a lack of growth or, you know, just the reality of our lives. I don't know if it's either here nor there. In terms of the age bracket, it may be a simple life experience. I imagine, you know, the strains and I know the strains are far greater on certain cohorts than others. But at the end of the day, the Bank of Canada is seeking this recession, right? All the work that it's doing is tracking to get closer to that. Not that it desires a recession, but it certainly desires recessionary tendencies. So, you know, again, whether we hit it or not will be a careful dance, I suppose. But that's where we're heading, that kind of slowing down of the market.
And there we have, we're going to draw smart speakers to a close. Mark Mendelson, Lindsay Broadhead, thank you very much for being here this afternoon. We will see you all very, very soon. Richard, when we get on the other side of mm-hmm. 5 o'clock, we're going to have our friend Ed Keenan from the Toronto Star come on and talk to us about how we can squeeze more money out of all those sons of guns who are driving the roads of Toronto. You'll want to listen to that. Right back with The Rush, Scott Reed and Richard Krause.